Hello again, everybody. This is Lance Russell with Championship Wrestling with another big week. Join us right now.
Hey, welcome to the Double Drop Kick Show. I'm Heath Mulliken.
And I'm Mark Whitman.
And this is the podcast. We talk about the wrestling you grew up with, the wrestling you need to watch now, and stuff. It's just like our Facebook group, Mark. Our Facebook group is called The Wrestling You Grew Up With. Mm-hmm. But it says clearly in the description, the wrestling you grew up with, the wrestling you need to watch now, and stuff. I just want to get that out there. I just want to put that out there.
It bothers you, doesn't it? You'll remove somebody from a group in a minute, and I'll get tweets from them, and I'll get messages from them. And I'm like, I ain't deleted you. I don't care. If you think that I've been keeping up with your post enough to know what you said, you obviously have never met me, because Heath is the one that's sitting around worried about that. It ain't. I want everybody in the sound of my voice to understand, don't send me a tweet. Don't send me a message. I didn't delete you from the group.
Mark doesn't delete. Okay, and let's just straight shoot. He doesn't know how to.
Oh, I know how. I know how, because you know who I remove? You know who I remove from the group? I remove the people that join and then try to post stuff about working from home.
Working from home,
pictures of themselves, or that video that somebody keeps trying to post to that girl and guy in the kitchen.
Yeah,
I don't know what's going on. I got a pretty good idea where the story ends up at, but I don't know what's going on. I did not remove you from the group because, quite frankly, I don't care enough to read through all the comments and correct, make sure that nobody has insulted the great name of Heath Mulliken. Maybe you ain't the only one to, but all I'm saying is, if you get deleted from the group, don't send me a message. Don't tag me in the comments. I got a tweet the other day from somebody who got kicked out of the group.
Really?
And I made sure he understood. You obviously think that I care more about you than I do. I did not delete you from the group. Everybody assumes it's me. It was not me. I don't care. I don't know why Heath deletes people from the group for disagreeing with him.
I know that
one reason that we started our group one time based on the fact he got booted from a group for disagreeing with an administrator.
And I didn't know. I did not boot the young man who has been allowed back into the group. It wasn't a disagreement. It was in haste is what I did. We conversed, admitted, hey, I had a quick trigger. We moved on from now. But if you, like...
He messaged me, too. I deleted it because I knew I didn't have anything to do with it.
So, listen, before we move on...
But that brings me to an interesting point.
Yeah.
Basically, from going forward, if you want to talk to me, you're going to have to talk to me in our patrons-only group.
Yes. Yes.
Because we have to make some things exclusive for them.
Right.
And I will say this, if you're listening, and I get messages. I get tweets. I get messages on Facebook. Occasionally I get an email. My email address is not really floating around out there.
Right, right.
But I've given it out here, I think, before. The best place, if you're a patron.
Yeah.
And you want to talk to me, just do me a favor and do it in the patrons group and make sure I see it.
Yeah.
Because I got a message the other day from somebody, and I hadn't even seen it. And it was like 2 or 3 months old, and it just was because I get so many. Like, I don't think people understand how many notifications that I get when I sign on to things.
Yeah.
And you're the same way, I know. But it'll be like 20 notifications sometimes. So I can go to the group.
Yeah.
And I can look.
Right.
And it's a nice, concise, it's all in one place. And I can look at that stuff and it'll make sure, if you're a patron, I want to make sure that I always answer your questions.
Right.
And talk to you. If you're not a patron, I may or may not answer, depending on my mood.
So, that's pretty, great minds think a lot, because I was just going to go and say, hey, welcome Jeff Becker, one of our new patrons. Tommy Stanley, one of our new patrons. Brandon Lewis, one of our new patrons. Brandon's actually starting a YouTube channel.
Yeah, I watched it. I watched and, it for him. He sent me a message and asked me if I'd watch his thing and send him some notes. I did that yesterday.
And I feel like our podcast had a child. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're branching that, like, 20 years from now, they're saying, oh, this podcast started in this path because, but yeah, good
well,
stuff.
I don't want to take credit for him.
No,
he
bro.
Did. He's a real tech savvy. Like, it's an interesting yes. take on wrestling where he kind of, have you watched his video yet?
Yes. Yes.
That's a no.
I watched most of it.
See, you didn't watch it.
Because I was at the.
I watched it. Yes. And not only did I watch it.
Yeah.
I took notes on everything and sent him notes.
Nice.
On what I thought. Where improvements could have been made and what I like.
Yeah.
I did because he's a patron. Yeah. And I appreciate
that's
that.
That's right. That's exactly
and,
right.
And I'm always going to help somebody out. He asked me to give him notes and I gave him
yeah.
notes. And, but it's a what if kind of scenario thing, but it's also coupled with the technology of the, cause he did a review of some headphones
yeah.
he had. And that's interesting. That's an interesting premise. I think it's, WrestleTech is
yeah. WrestleTech is the YouTube page,
the YouTube channel that he's got. So,
let me
check him out.
Yeah, definitely. And
he's going to get better.
Yeah, Brandon. Golly, we sucked. No, I mean, yeah, we sucked when we first started.
Oh well, he and I talked about that.
We're developing chemistry. Yeah,
don't like their episodes, like our Sting and Ric Flair that we tried a couple times and have still never been released
because right.
they just weren't good. That's what one of the things I just like pick a time. Be consistent with that time of when you're going to release. And if you're going along, like, because I just want to expound upon some of the notes I sent him.
Yeah.
Like when you and I have been going along with a show sometimes, and yeah. we'll be 20 minutes in and looking at each other and going, like, the chemistry's off.
Or
something's not right, and we just scrap it and
yeah.
start over or just abandon that premise. And, like, I think you got to not be afraid to say to yourself, let me start over.
Right. That's one of the benefits of not doing a live podcast. Is we have the freedom to do that. If this
right.
were a live podcast and we were stinking it up, we'd be like,
Arr. Yeah, you just kind of stuck with it.
But I also want to thank Brandon for. I was having some tech issues the other day with a thumb drive. Brandon just sent me a thumb drive, 128 gigabyte thumb drive.
Nice.
Just sent it to me. So, Brandon, nice. Thank you so much.
We need to get a P.O. box. I notice a lot of people have those where you can.
Oh.
You can just send us stuff if you want to.
That's
if
right.
You want us to review your products or whatever.
Yeah. Can. So when you now, and if you go to patreon.com/doubledropkick, all the rewards have changed.
Yeah.
There's new levels, and so we're working on getting our rewards out. But one of the main rewards, starting with that $1 level, is we have created an exclusive, private, patrons-only Facebook group. Where pretty much you ask a question, Mark's doing a Facebook Live tonight on January 19th. Mm-hmm. He's going to take questions we haven't answered on the show.
Yeah, I mean, because some things you'll get questions and they won't make good long-form shows.
Correct.
Some do, so I've already got, I think, 5 or 6 questions people have sent me and asked me if I'd talk about them, which is good. I didn't think anybody would ask anything. That was my,
right.
honestly.
And we finally get to answer the jobber question
yeah,
tonight.
Yeah, so I'll be answering that one. So that'll be just an exclusive thing that I'll do. I can't give you I'm going to do it on this day
right.
at this time because my work schedule is
yeah.
different than
yeah.
than most people's. But what I can tell you is every Monday I'll put a post up.
Right.
And you can ask the question there.
Yeah.
And then I will let you know on that Monday kind of when I'm planning on coming on.
Yeah. And so, like, for example, you know, one thing I think we're going to start doing is every recording session is do a live Facebook where we record our patrons-only episode. It'll be a live video and audio. So
you can't even give me that to do alone. Like, you can do a show alone.
No.
For the patrons only, for the Facebook group. You want to do a show without me. But when I say I'm going to go do a show that'll be just for the patrons group, you're like, oh, well me and you will do one too. Because then if they...
Well, if you want to count, count, we can count that. You know, if we counted that as a reward, that would actually save me some money. Listen, I haven't even made my proposal to you about expanding our podcast empire, which that's the pitch for lunch. We'll get to that later. So here we are. So anyway, thanks to all of our patrons.
Yes.
As I like to say, you are awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome. Like, it humbles me that anybody cares what I think about anything.
And if you're not a patron,
it doesn't humble Heath because he's used to that. Like, that's his life, is having a job where people tend to care what he thinks about stuff.
Oh gosh!
But for me, it's strange to.
It's a blessing and a curse.
It is. I mean, it's kind of, but it is humbling to me that anybody cares about anything that will come out of my mouth.
We do have, if you've ever checked our Patreon page, our monthly expenses have gone up and are going up. And just to try to produce a better product with our website and things. So any support would be greatly appreciated. So here we go. Part 8. Of the ultimate fantasy wrestling tournament. Let me just try to fill you in. If you're listening to this and you're like, part 8, what happened to the rest? Hit the pause button or hit the download button. Always download. There's 7 parts that got us to. This is the semifinals. We are creating a card that's got our 2 semifinal matches and 5 other matches on the card. You can also go back. This whole tournament was a blind draw. You can go back, listen to all of that. Links to all those episodes are in our show notes at doubledropkick.com. Before we get to our semifinal matches, we got to come up with some undercard matches. So I got our bracket over here with all of our names.
Hey, I didn't forget what we decided on.
Well, we did. We didn't. We had not. Our recording session was long in the tooth. So if you're listening, when we had our Elite 8, the undercard was Daniel Bryan versus Kurt Angle, a 10-minute draw. Ric Flair over Seth Rollins with his foot on the ropes. And then a Donnybrook with Stan Hansen and Bruiser Brody versus the APA, brawling all over the place. That was our undercard.
Okay.
So here we go. We got 60 men that we can.
So that's the first. You got me confused now.
We've already done this one.
Okay.
This was part 7.
Okay.
So here we go. What are you thinking?
Man, I mean, probably should have talked about this before we got.
Well, you had talked about. We know in either this card or the final night's card, you want Dusty and Terry Funk in a cage.
Yeah, well, I know that one.
So may I write it down?
Sure. What's some good dream matches here?
Well, I thought about the angle of doing Kenta and Inoki versus somebody. I thought about, you know, doing some of those eras, like doing, I thought about, you know, at some point on the card, doing an 8-man NWA guys versus 80s NWA guys versus 80s WWF guys. Or actually, most of those guys cross paths.
I'm trying to make the most money here, but is this 5 matches plus those 2?
Yes, so 7 matches total.
All right, on this so here, card. Number 5. Well, I got to keep somebody fresh. All right, over here, I'm going to write this match out.
All right. We've got, for those of you who are not in the room with us as we're recording this, which is everybody, we got our finals and semifinal cards, and so we're trying to divvy it out so we're not duplicating a whole lot of people.
Over here, I want to see just a good get me started. Bruiser Brody versus Chris Hero.
Oh, nice. Very good.
I think that'll be a good match.
Yes, yes.
Let's see. Dead air. You're going to have to talk while I figure out.
What if we did... We're simply looking at the bracket of all the people. We've had so many dream matches in this tournament.
Yeah, I know it.
Let's go back. What were some matches that we kind of went back and forth on, or do some tag team matches you can always do?
Well, we got Arn and Tully. I was trying to find somebody for Arn and Tully to face.
Yeah, that's. Do you know that that's exactly what I was thinking?
Arn and Tully could face.
What about the Mega Powers? Did they ever cross paths with the Mega Powers?
I don't think they did. Yeah, okay. Arn and Tully. Well, I don't know that that's a second match on the card. Maybe that's down here. As our semi-main.
And again, all these people in their prime.
Oh, of course. You got a match? You want to take the pin?
What was the match that I... Okay, I'm trying to find the...
This is going to be captivating.
See, I got...
We probably should have done this before.
Yes, but, you know, hindsight's 20/20.
Maybe we could do it right now and then start recording. Well, I hate to lose that first part because I thought that was pretty good.
No. What if I do this? Well, hey, thanks to the miracle of modern technology, we're back and we actually have a card now.
Yeah.
All right, so our opening.
If anybody ever doubts that we just kind of show up, don't know what we're going to talk about.
Let
that be the record.
All right, our opening match. Where would you do this card? Where would you do? We got two great cards. Would you do them on a weekend, a Saturday, Sunday? Would you spread them out? What would you do?
I'd do it on Saturday.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let me
throw maybe you on a Friday and a Saturday night or something. For
so
these
we
last
do.
Two.
Are you? We thinking Dome? We thinking Madison Square Garden?
It depends. Is this now or then?
Listen, we're like completely booking in an alternate universe.
And then let's just we're going to do. Maybe one night in the Greensboro Coliseum and the finals in Madison Square Garden.
There you go.
The next night.
There you go.
That's a long way. That's a lot of traveling, but, you know.
Right. Yeah.
But most of the guys who are on this card, they're not having to travel to the finals. Some of them will, and the ones that will have to make the travel are the major stars in wrestling that made the travel, which is why they were the major stars
right,
in wrestling,
because right.
they would do that kind of thing. So I think there's no problem with.
All right, opening match for this card.
From the Greensboro Coliseum, opening match. Bruiser Brody versus Chris Hero.
Oh, man.
I don't know. I think that's a cool match. I just want to see it.
Yeah?
I like Chris Hero. I love both of them, really.
Yeah.
I'm a huge Brody fan, a huge Hero. Or Cassius Ohno now, I guess.
He
will be known. Give a guy the right money and the right push, man. He'll change his name for you, which is weird because everybody else has got to come in now. It's like there's this weird generation of those guys who had to come in and change their names.
Yeah.
And then, like, right after that happened.
Right.
Which some of them, I still think that the name change for Finn Balor was for the best.
Yes.
Because I just don't think Prince Devitt was a good name. Fergal Devitt.
Well, here's another thing.
I didn't like that name. I couldn't.
And he came up with Finn.
Am I pronouncing it right?
Right.
And I would see it on paper.
Yeah.
But Finn Balor, I think, is a great name.
And he came up with that, and there's meaning behind it. Chris Hero, I think the reason he went back to Cassius Ohno is he helped come up with that name, the initials KO. For Knockout, in case people are like, you know, slow to get it like I was. But he had already appeared on NXT television.
Had he really?
I'll be quiet. All right. What's the finish of this match, Mark?
As it always shall and forever needs to be, Bruiser Brody goes over.
Yeah.
Because Chris Hero has, I mean, basically, if you haven't followed his indie career, he's made a name for himself going around having incredible matches, fighting really hard and losing.
And then afterwards gets to cut the promo that everybody kind of feels bad for.
Right, he gets the sympathy. And so there's another guy here in the Carolinas that's kind of tried to steal that gimmick.
Yeah. What just happened?
I don't know.
Your mic went out for a second.
Okay.
Well,
I might have pulled something loose down there.
Our second match is Ricky Steamboat versus AJ Styles. You would think I booked this match. Yeah. Okay. Now you're good. Just leave it like that. All right.
Don't touch anything.
Yes. Ricky Steamboat, AJ Styles.
Can I scratch my weenus if I have to?
Nah.
Okay.
What you're thinking on this match? What you're booking? Time limit draw?
Nah, I want everything. I have established, I feel like, in my tournament,
yeah,
that our finishes matter.
Yes.
We didn't do, we only, that I can think of, we really only did one that what the we did the double count out.
And then in our, the previous card, part seven, we had had a time limit draw with Daniel Bryan and Kurt Angle.
Okay. So,
but I, yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, I think AJ Styles goes over because I think he's a better worker than Ricky Steamboat.
Who in the group today was called overrated.
I wouldn't disagree with that. And I know everybody else did. But I would not disagree with Steamboat being a bit overrated. And not because he's not good, but because he's too good.
Right.
He's...
All right, keep talking.
All right. Like...
I'll say, Mark, you were saying Ricky Steamboat overrated because he was too good.
He's too good. Yeah. I think he's too good.
Yeah.
I heard Dave Meltzer one time, and he, as a matter of fact, he was talking to Chris Hero about this. They had a discussion about, have you ever seen somebody that was so good that upon first seeing them, you rejected it because it shouldn't be that good?
Right.
And for me, there's two guys that always come to mind, and one of them is Ricky Steamboat. And one of them is Brian Pillman.
Yeah.
They kind of went against the grain of what was supposed, especially Pillman, I mean, mm-hmm. who was so small, but he was so good that you reject it to start with. And that's kind of how I felt about Steamboat. I'm not saying he's not good. Saying he may not be in ring, definitely one of the top of all time, but he couldn't cut a promo.
Right.
And he couldn't work heel.
Right.
And that does not make you a well-rounded worker.
Right.
Without the ability, just being great in the ring is fine.
Yeah.
Certainly you can make a career of that. But he never worked heel.
Yeah.
And he could cut an okay promo, but he couldn't cut a real good promo. He'd probably be one of those guys that if you scripted him, he could do great.
Right.
I mean, it's somebody... Because I know that you were another. You got on there and chastised him for saying he was overrated, and a lot of people were chastising him for saying he was overrated. But I'm saying that whoever made the post, I tend to agree with him because he couldn't cut a promo, and he was too good, and he didn't work heel.
Okay, based on that. Yeah, based on that criteria, I mean, there's no argument for me on that. I don't think that's where the poster was coming from.
I don't either. I don't either.
Yeah.
We want to talk about two guys who are not overrated.
Yeah.
In this next match.
Yes. the Ultimate Warrior versus Sting.
Oh, yeah, man.
Yes, we know they were tag team partners.
Yeah, please tell me. Please, somebody.
Blade and Rock.
Make sure that you know that I understand that they were tag team.
Did you see the post yesterday? Hey, guys, did y'all know there were two Ultimate Warriors? One of them was Lex Luger.
Hey, Lord, did you approve it?
Yeah, because I had a friend tell me one time.
You're like, oh, that was good. Oh, I'm so glad you did. Those are the ones that I approve.
Right.
Because I want to see the poster.
Yeah.
Take the heat.
Yes.
I do. I like
when you say something so blatantly, obviously wrong.
Right.
Incorrect.
That Lex Luger was one of the Ultimate Warriors, then you are ridiculous, and I'm going to go ahead and approve that. Because you deserve all the heat that's coming your way.
Speaking of ridiculous, I was at Walmart yesterday. They're releasing lots of WWE toys, and they had the three-pack with Ultimate Warrior, Sting, and Lex Luger with the faces painted. $50!
I know. I saw it, too.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, I saw it, and because I picked it up and said, are you out of your mind?
$50.
$50 for that? But have you seen the little figures? Those are cool, man.
And they're $10.
I looked for Ultimate Warrior, and they didn't have him.
Yeah,
I was going to get one. Did they have him at the one in Seneca?
No, they had basically
Kevin Owens.
They had 50 Kevin Owens, one John Cena, maybe one Roman Reigns.
Yeah, that's pretty much what they had in Central. Because I wanted the Ultimate Warrior, I was going to get it.
Okay,
but
see, I don't know what I didn't look on the back of the card to see what other figures were released.
Well, they did an Ultimate Warrior defining moments from the Ultimate Maniacs, and they have it in Central.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't like
they
it.
They got like five of those. Yeah. And they must have.
I don't like it, though. It's not. Yeah. There's an Ultimate Warrior figure that I want, and I wish I'd have bought it.
Yeah.
It was like $20, and then he passed away.
Right.
Like, as I started looking at buying it, like that weekend.
Yeah.
I'm going, I think I'm going to go ahead and pull the trigger on that Ultimate Warrior figure. And then he passed away, and they shot up through the roof.
Yeah, I think some of his stuff on Amazon's decent priced.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and you know, if you go to DoubleDropkick.com, click on an Amazon banner, help the cause.
That would be nice.
So, who you got going? Warrior versus Sting.
Now that is not going. I want to save my kind of count out.
Gotcha.
Truly,
yeah.
I don't know. I just don't. I don't want either one of those guys to go over.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you.
So I don't know how to get out of that. I just want them to both come away looking strong.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a 10-minute time limit draw where they're standing in the ring duking it out when the bell rings. Neither one of them are going to leave their feet. Neither one of them are going to – I'm just going to keep them both strong.
Yeah.
It's just an exhibition match. It's 10 minutes long.
Yeah.
Nobody leaves their feet or takes a bump.
The next match.
And it's just power moves. Hitting the ropes and shoulder blocking and nobody, you know, and then the bell rings. And everybody's all disappointed because they didn't get a 5-star classic because we all know, as Bubba Ray Dudley said, stars ain't real.
Yes.
And we'll get there.
Yes.
Patrons only will get to hear that conversation.
Yes. Our next match.
Greatest worker in the business, Dave Meltzer.
Hey. He makes money.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's convinced everybody that Steamboat and Savage are the ones that drew 93,000 people to the Pontiac Silverdome.
All right. Our next match on the card, Brock Lesnar and Samoa Joe.
Oh, come on, man. We were just looking at names. Who can you put Lesnar with? Samoa Joe's name pops up. That's just hard-hitting, stiff.
Yes.
Snot bubble wrestling. And I think Lesnar goes over.
He hits that F5 and I want this match to be so hard hitting and so physical that it leaves people asking, what if? That these guys have such a hard hitting match, it elevates them that people say, man, if they do this tournament next year, one of them guys is going to win it.
Right. That's a good point.
Next, right before we get into our two tournament matches, Arn Anderson and Telly Blanchard versus the Mega Powers.
I smoke a pack a day, so I don't try to do the actually, I'm probably pretty better at the Savage thing because of that.
Hulk Hogan, I hate your guts. Hulkamania is dead.
I open my mouth too much when I do Savage. You gotta keep your teeth.
You gotta keep your mouth.
You gotta keep it like this.
You gotta keep your teeth gritted together. Yeah, you do.
Well, let me tell you something. Maybe I should stick to Hogan.
I can't do Hogan's. I don't do a great Savage, but I can't do Hogan at all.
Well, you know something, brother.
Yeah. Did you see the kayfabe story where it says Hulk Hogan
finally tells his brother something? Yeah, I saw that.
Did he really?
That's the only news that I ever post in the group anymore is kayfabe news.
Get to hear what people say.
I love the comments on it.
Hulk Hogan has a brother.
Hulk Hogan's got a brother? What? I didn't
know.
Yeah, it's Brutus Beefcake. You didn't know Brutus Beefcake was his brother.
Oh, my. All right. So, you want to tell the finish of this match or?
I mean, I can or you can do it. I don't care.
So you got a great match, obviously Hogan and Savage getting control. And then you got two men maybe forgotten. Ole Anderson and Ric Flair come to the ring. It becomes a 4-on-2 attack. The original Four Horsemen are reunited, and they are taking out the two men that they stood against in the mid-80s in wrestling. And then what's going to happen?
You're going to hear that familiar music hit. Don't, 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 don't.
And not one man running into the ring.
Don't, don't.
Two men running into the ring.
It's the Ultimate Warrior Sting Fans! They're coming to the ring! Oh my goodness! The Ultimate Warrior is a house of fire! Sting and clearing the ring! It's, oh my goodness! And now, Hulk Hogan, Randy Savage, Sting, and the Ultimate Warrior are standing tall in the ring. Oh my goodness! Oh my goodness! Mark Whitman has made his way to the back. He's got a microphone. He says, yeah, tomorrow night. Mark Whitman, what? He wants to say something.
That was good. Well, fans, you don't want to miss what's going to happen tomorrow night. Coming from Madison Square Garden, we're going to have, you're not going to believe it, the Four Horsemen are going to take on the Mega Powers and the Blade Runners in a 8-man tag team's extravaganza.
Order your tickets now. Ticketmaster, it's sold out, but on pay-per-view.
But if you buy the ticket, like, here's the thing. Because if you're in Greensboro tonight,
yeah,
if you buy the ticket for Madison Square Garden on Saturday night, you're watching that on closed circuit.
Yes.
In Madison Square Garden. And the people who are in Greensboro can come to Greensboro and watch what's happening in Madison Square Garden on closed circuit.
Yes.
That just occurred to me. So now the people in Madison Square Garden know tomorrow night we're going to get to see the Four Horsemen. No,
you got it back. People in Greensboro say, hey, I'm coming back here tomorrow night.
No, but the people who are in Madison Square Garden,
right. Oh, sorry,
watching on closed circuit, yes, are going to go nuts because tomorrow night we're going to get to see the Mega Powers and the Blade Runners
and
take the Four Horsemen.
And the guy in the truck, yours truly, is going to show that pop from the crowd.
Oh, we got a live shot from Madison Square Garden, everybody. Yeah,
oh, where Mario Lopez is hosting.
Mario Lopez. And Ricky Schroeder.
And Jenny McCarthy. Yeah. She always hosts those things. All right, so we move on to our first. I mean, we went from, started out 128 guys, and we're down to 4.
Uh-huh.
And our first semifinal, a match that I don't know if it happened, Goldberg versus The Undertaker.
Yeah, I don't think it did, because that's one of the things that Goldberg was hoping for when he came back, was to get a match with Undertaker.
Yeah.
That's one of the – I've heard him say that was kind of one of his big regrets, that he never got that Undertaker match.
Well, he's got it
tonight here in the Double Dropkick Show Wrestling Tournament, whatever we're calling this.
Ultimate Fantasy Tournament.
So, Goldberg and Undertaker. And, I mean, Goldberg's going to do what he does. Spear, jackhammer, Undertaker's going to set up, tombstone pile driver, get the win.
That's right. Okay. I was pretty nervous. I was nervous going into this match that, because we both would say not the biggest Goldberg fans, but we booked it good. And I think, yes, Taker goes over, and that leads us to our final match of the semifinals.
John Cena versus Mitsuhiro Misawa. I read an article one time, and I wish I could tell you who wrote it or where it was at.
Yeah.
That compared these two, because everybody would say, well, Misawa is the greatest of all time.
Right.
Whatnot. But that compared the match style, which is basically being a Superman.
Yeah.
And both of them do that so well. Because, like, if you followed Misawa and followed Cena, you can see very much that Cena and the way that the matches are worked are heavily influenced by the way Misawa's matches were worked, where he would sell his butt off for a little while, but he would always manage to come back, and then it would turn into this deal at the end where it was hit a big finish and sell it for me, and then hit a big finish and sell it, and then hit a big finish and sell it, and then hit a big finish and sell it, and then hit a big finish and sell it, and just build to this crescendo where finally somebody hits that one big move out of nowhere. Yeah. They do a reversal, boom, and the match is over. These two guys, when they're in a big match, they always show up. I don't care what anybody says about John Cena.
Yeah.
John Cena can work.
Yeah. So last night, I thought that I had missed this match, but I hadn't. And it was the SummerSlam match between John Cena and AJ Styles. Mm-hmm. So I'm watching that match, and I'm watching it. I start out, I'm not watching this match as a fan. I'm watching this match because I know today we're recording our matches of the year.
Uh-huh.
So I was re-watching some matches. I'm watching it from an objective point of view. And I'm watching this match, and I find myself critiquing John Cena. I find myself critiquing his work, how he punches, how he bumps. I found myself doing that at the beginning of the match. But as the match went on, I forgot about all that. Because I'm trying to watch this match objectively. I'm at the gym. I'm on the exercise bike. And I got caught up in the match.
Mm-hmm.
That's how good John Cena can be.
Yeah.
And here's another thing that I had forgotten about that match. I think, and I'm going to state something very obvious, hating John Cena has just become the cool thing to do.
Oh, is and it really the cool thing to do, though?
I'm not saying it's cool, but you go to a show, it's like 10,000 people are shouting, Cena sucks. So, oh, you know, it's like Drake wants to go to a live event of WWE just to sing the John Cena sucks.
Right.
He just thinks that would be cool, be a part of that. But at the end of that match, tremendous match. All right, I'll talk about that on a later episode.
I'll be honest with you, though. I think the Cena, let's go Cena, Cena sucks thing, I think you're partially right. But I think some of it, too, is that, you know, Kurt Angle coming back and they play his song and everybody chanting, you suck. Well, they don't really think he sucks.
No,
some
right.
It's just part of the gimmick at this point.
Correct.
And I think a lot of people do it as a sign of respect at this point.
And so... You're saying exactly what I'm about to say. When that match was
up. It sucks, don't it? When you're about to make a point, somebody jumps in and kind of steals it from you.
It doesn't. When your point is so brilliantly obvious that the other genius in the room picks up on it. And when that match is over.
The other genius. I like it.
And Cena's in the middle of the ring. There's no chanting. It is just that respectful clap.
Yeah.
And he takes off that armband. And that's why I thought, because something happened. I saw the match, and then I didn't get to see the extracurricular at the end. But the crowd response.
That was a good match.
The crowd response to that, you know.
Was he wearing knee pads in that match?
He was wearing knee pads. Okay. But they were.
Were they different colors?
No, they were. Here's the question.
It looked like AJ Styles had gotten a haircut
nope,
before.
Nope,
why do you think he got the haircut?
Now, when the match was over, one of his kick pads was bent under or bent over a little bit. It looked awkward. So how do you book this match?
I think the match goes exactly like both of their matches do. It builds to that big finish. And I think ultimately, at the end of the day, John Cena got that style from Misawa. So I'm putting Misawa over John Cena.
Okay.
To head to my finals of The Undertaker versus Mitsuru Misawa.
I'm going to tell you, I kind of wavered thinking about this. Because I knew coming into today, I wanted to see Taker in the finals. I knew that would happen because of 1991, 1992, and 1993 booking in the student government office.
Even then, I had Taker in the finals.
Right.
And still, he's in the finals.
But I was thinking, okay, do we want, it's Madison Square Garden, do you want Cena and Taker? Is that the money match? But I'm telling you, you got Madison Square Garden. You open, having Misawa in there, you have a whole country that is now buying your pay-per-view that before was like, eh. Uh-huh. You got it's on New Japan World. It's on the Double Dropkick Show Network.
And that's what I was thinking. You're going to bring in this whole audience from Japan that might have been thinking, well, if Misawa does something, I might buy it.
Yeah.
Well, then Misawa does something. So now they're like, well, I got to buy it now. I love Misawa.
So, fans, here we are. We have now gotten down to our finals. The Undertaker versus Mitsuhiro Misawa. But it also leaves us, when we make our final card, with a very interesting third place match, which is going to be awesome. So listen, let's run down the card for you one more time. Our opening match, Bruiser Brody and Chris Hero. Then we had Ricky Steamboat losing to AJ Styles. We had Ultimate Warrior and Sting going to a time limit draw. We had Brock Lesnar, F5, and Samoa Joe. We had Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard versus the Mega Powers breaking it down to an 8-man brawl, which will be settled at Madison Square Garden on the following night in the finals. So, like I said, in these show notes are all the links to all the previous tournament episodes. Because I know what you're thinking. How'd John Cena and Goldberg get to the semifinals? And you can go back.
That's a great voice,
and
man.
You can go back.
How'd they get to the finals?
And you can go back and listen and hear. And maybe you're listening to this like, I don't even know who Mitsuhara Masuwakama is.
There you go again.
What?
There you go again.
I'm making fun of rednecks that can't talk. I'm making
fun of Bobby
Mulligan.
Only in Oconee County on my way over here today, I see this anywhere else. I'm driving down the road and I look and there's this moped coming that's barely moving, and it has got a mass of humanity hanging off of it, and it's two guys piled up on this moped, and one of them's got his you just have to have seen it from my position because it's cold out, so you see the one guy's head, and it's two guys on a little bitty moped.
Were they looking for the Rocky Mountains?
So you see the one guy's head and the other guy's head sticking out around on the side looking, and both of them are like got their teeth gritted and their eyes are watering because it's cold. I thought only in Oakway.
Listen, I think that just like this, the curb stomp moped should be banned. They don't belong on roads.
Yeah, some people got to make it back and forth to work, and they're not as blessed as you are.
But what I'm saying is,
spoken like a true guy that can walk to work. Whose house is in the parking lot of where he works at.
All right, double drop.
What you're saying is, so a guy trying to make his way to work to his job shouldn't be able to get on a moped and get there?
What I'm saying is, when someone is on a moped, it causes a danger to other motorists because mopeds only go a certain speed. Mm-hmm. So, like, if you're just riding your moped, but there's some places they belong, some places they don't. It's not about people going to work. I'm saying this, it is dangerous. If you get hit on a moped.
Couldn't you say the same thing about motorcycles?
But a motorcycle can go.
If you get hit on a motorcycle, you're not going to get killed. Couldn't the same thing be said about somebody driving down the road and texting while they're riding down the road?
You ever seen somebody texting on a moped?
Because I'm pretty sure that it's a law that you're not supposed to do that. And there are people in this room who I've seen do that and put themselves and their passenger and other drivers around them.
There are people.
In more danger than a lot of people who are just getting on a moped so they can make it to work and provide for their family because they don't get to walk across a parking lot.
There are people in this room who have caused accidents texting and driving.
Yeah, and it ain't me.
Right. I'm not going to mention any names, Claude Mulligan.
So who is really more of a danger, you behind the wheel texting or the guy trying to make it back and forth to work and using a moped to do it because that's all he can afford?
All right, so I'm not talking about you're the best at this.
You know how most people paint themselves into a corner. I've got a big brush on a roller with a long stick painted, just pushing it right up towards your feet. You're backing up into a corner.
So listen,
so for the record, you know,
y'all don't understand how, like, Mark makes it think that I'm
I don't know how your self-esteem handles being around me, to be honest with you.
Listen, I have to go home every day, look in the mirror and say, I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me. Anyway, after I take a bath in hand sanitizer. All right. I don't know what we're talking about. DoubleDropKick.com is where you can find all our episodes, all the tournaments, all the stuff. Yeah, we got a Facebook group, The Wrestling You Grew Up With. Hey, we'll add you. As long as you got a profile pic, we'll add you into the group.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm still like having to, because I'm used to just like going down, and which I'm guessing maybe, I don't know, maybe you don't, but you got to like it when I'm on night shift because you wake up in the morning and there's not 300 requests.
That's right. I woke up this morning and I decided, okay. I had decided, you know what? I'm not going to approve anything for like 24 hours. Yeah. And I just want to build it up to where there's like 3,000 members. And then I'm going to approve them all at once.
Can you do that? Can you do a mass approval?
Not with that many. It'll only do like so many at a time.
Well, I wish I knew how to do that. To go through and do one at a time.
There's a little button in the top right-hand corner of your phone. Three dots. Click that. Approve all. Reject all.
Really?
See?
I wish I knew that.
Well.
I don't think I have that little button.
You'd have time to do it if you wasn't driving to work on a moped. All right, now.
I don't drive a moped.
I'm just messing with you. Oh, no. See? You like? You see what I did there?
No. Here's what you did.
I don't know.
I presented a logical argument.
No.
You just told a lie.
No. Hey.
Is that not what happened?
No.
You made a statement.
You said I had an eye patch.
You made a statement.
You said I had an eye patch.
No, you disputed that.
You said I had an eye patch.
And you disputed that.
Yeah. What I just said is indisputable.
Certainly. And you got them glasses on today, and I walked in, and you asked me what we were having for lunch, and I got to figure with them glasses on, you know what we're having for lunch 3 years from now. And he's asking me what we're having today.
Listen, if we keep fighting like this, people are going to think they're listening to something to wrestle with.
That's true, and I don't ever want to be confused with that.
Man, them guys don't really like each other. I think that one guy's just doing podcasts because that other guy's rich.
You think?
You think? All right. What were we talking about? Again, Patreon.com.
Patreon.com/double. He's
drop.
The liar. The truth is not in him. He doesn't like the working man.
I love the working man. At Heath Mulliken on Twitter.
At the DDK Show. Hey. Just don't tweet me if Heath kicks you out of the group.
I've got to go back and check that.
I'll show it to you.
I got to go see that. So, hey, thanks to all our patrons. Thanks for your support. Thanks for downloading and listening to the Double Dropkick Show, because as always, I'm Heath Mulliken.
And I'm Mark Whitman.
And that's it this week, fans. So long for now.